I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The best things happen after dark. Nightclubs are the ultimate spaces for self-expression, escape, music, socializing, and forgetting for a moment the outside world. Going out is a way to discover ourselves, who we really are, what we really like. We find new friends and fall in love on the dance floor. As humans, we like to move to a beat, and there's nothing like a good night out. I'm Jody Harsh. I'm a DJ and producer, and I've spent most of my life going out. I know how to tear up a dance floor, and in this podcast, I chat with my guests about how club culture and going out has helped shape their identities and inform their work. In season one, we were locked down, unable to partake in nocturnal activities, so we could only talk about our memories of nightlife. Now we're back out there, and I've got a truly amazing guest list for season two. So let's dive into those hazy memory banks and hit the floor. This is Life of the Party.
Rebecca Lucy Taylor is recognisable by her stage name Self Esteem, the inspiration of which comes from the evolution of her confidence from her early 20s. She was born in Rotherham and she's spoken about breaking into the industry in her 30s, stating she used to lie and say she was 25 and said it took her a while to be proud of breaking into the industry later on in life. So I'm really looking forward to diving deep in with her about that. She's really outspoken about women in the music industry, and her lyrics talk about that and toxic relationships and patriarchy and all sorts of other serious things, but with sharp pop bites. Honestly, I can't wait to talk to her about her life via the dance floor. I really love her. Let's dive straight in.
How are you doing?
Hi. Good.
We're very matching.
Yeah, my sissy.
We're both in leopard print. If you're just listening to this, we're both in a leopard print matchy-matchy yeah. look.
It's like on X Factor when they try and let people have personal style, but under the same umbrella.
And it all comes as basically the same thing.
Yeah.
With the same
leopard
thing.
Print moments, yeah.
So how is life? How is your summer?
Busy. So busy.
Yeah.
I was just saying, like, it's wonderful to be this busy.
You're playing so many festivals and things.
Yeah, literally. Dad's back garden. If they're paying, I'm there.
You are literally there.
Auntie's christening.
Put a tenner on the oyster, I'll be there.
Yeah. Literally. And in a way, because they book festivals so far in advance, 6 months ago, I was like, yeah, fuck it, we'll do that. Yeah. And now I'm like, oh, God.
How do you handle that kind of touring schedule? We were just talking about that. Yeah, no, we were literally just talking about this before we went live. Yeah. But do you find it quite overwhelming when you're like dashing around?
It's just more that at all of, like, I've been in music for over 10 years.
Yeah.
I'm very much waving into the void, sort of going like, hello.
Yeah, you were
really
in a band
talented.
Before.
Yeah. Does anyone want to give me something to do?
Yeah.
And now that's people are waving back at me, which is nice, but I am a bit, it's just very overwhelming. And I keep asking people with successful careers, like, what do you do? And I feel like there's going to be some magical answer.
Mm.
And everyone's just like, I don't know, just get on with it, because it is a lot.
Has there been a moment where you've gone, oh my God, I've made it, I'm... Assuming maybe not, because I've never had that moment.
That's the other thing. It's all relative, isn't it?
But totally.
I noticed recently, I keep coming out of the flat and getting into a car.
Mm.
That happens more.
Yeah.
Than me coming out the flat and going, oh, where the fuck am I going on City
Mapper? And how about when you're on stage as well, when you're looking at, and you've sold out a show and you're looking out, like, how does that feel?
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah.
It's for, like, the end of last summer, we played some shows and things felt significantly different for me in my career. From, I used to be in a band and now I'm solo, and I've had two records as a solo artist. There was very much a time when it was like, oh dear, it's not worked.
Right.
This second one has in some ways quote unquote worked. And then we just played Hoopla and we played at another festival in Oxford at the weekend, and you know, the tents are full and people know the words, and I'm like, ah.
How was it Hoopla for you? I was there as well.
Mental.
Yeah, it's good, that festival, isn't it?
I mean, I knew that, you know, that is an open goal in terms of, like, going down well.
Totally, yeah. And if it's the queers are enjoying, it's like, right, we're on to a good thing.
I know, yeah.
Yeah.
But still, it's I love it. I can't believe it. I get quite emotional, actually, being like, oh, this fight to be looked at or listened to. It doesn't feel over. Honestly, as soon as you get one, you must experience it too. Like, you get to one level and then they're like, so how are we going to get to the next one? I'm like, I've only just fucking got...
I'm sure even Beyonce feels like that. Yeah. Well, maybe not Beyonce, but I feel like that is a general thing for anyone who is a performer or works in the arts in any scope. I feel like you're always kind of like, right, so what's next? Like, I don't know if there's ever a fully satisfying thing, unless your ego is like completely shot. But I feel like it's very much a creative trait to be like, okay, so we've done that, right? Well, what are we doing next?
Yeah, and
what's
the
next goal?
Impetus to do more is a positive thing, but also part of me is like, can I not just enjoy the fact that the tent's got people in it?
Yeah.
But we'll see. And I'm playing everywhere all year, and we were just factoring in like, when can I stay overnight at one of them? When can I have fun? Like,
and because enjoy, and see so, some shows,
which you learn. Like, hopefully, I'll be busy and booked forever now, and I can start to. Yeah, factor in me having a social life again. Yeah. But at the minute, it's just like, I feel like Judy Garland, honestly. Get her a coffee.
Like Judy Garland, oh my God.
Like, just get her on stage, get her keep talking.
Yeah.
Which is fine, but it's a lot, but it's good.
Yeah. So let's talk about parties. That's what we're here for today. What's your earliest memory of partying? And I mean, I'm talking like going back to like, was there a birthday party or something?
Yeah, even that is such a great question. My birthday is October 15th, and it would always come up, and it got a bit confused with Halloween plans, right?
Yeah.
So I've always been a bit stressed by that. But my dad was really creative. He was at art school when he met my mum and stuff. So but then obviously got a real job and had the kids and the kind of things like that. But we had access to this like very creative man.
Yeah.
So every birthday was a bit of a event in terms of like theme.
Right.
So there wasn't like much to, we did, you know, I wasn't like big budget party, but it was like so each year there was a big intense theme on sleepovers, basically.
Right.
So I remember having changing rooms.
Oh, wow.
Just going back
I was
to
in the TV
that.
Show.
I was obsessed with changing
like
rooms.
Like Lawrence Llewellyn Bowen vibes. Wow.
I was obsessed.
Wow.
Like,
what an interesting theme for a party.
So funny when I'm on podcast and I just remember things live on air.
What would a changing rooms themed birthday party entail?
Exactly. It was like drawing papers to like put, and crayons, and we would design the room.
Right.
I think that's kind of where it got to.
Did your friends enjoy that?
Probably not.
No.
And then a better year was Stars in the Rise theme.
That's tonight, Matthew, I'm going to be. That's kind of major.
And we had... I think four girls over, and one girl was Martin McCutcheon.
Fabulous.
This is my moment.
That was her moment, yeah.
Carly Bailey.
And
she was like supermodel beautiful at like nine.
Yeah.
This other girl did Tina Turner.
Fabulous.
Just going back to me now. I did Shania Twain.
Fabulous.
And I think I made my parents score it, and I think I won.
I think you have to. It's like when your parents make you win Pass the Parcel.
Yeah.
Oh, or Musical Chairs or something. Yeah. It's like, oh, funny that I won. It's my birthday. Yeah.
I think my parents were very like, they never wanted me to be like, they wouldn't, they weren't pushy parents or anything. But I think when it came down to a singing competition, there was just, it was undeniable.
Yeah, you had to win, yeah.
So
and Shania Twain
memory.
In the leopard print as well.
Yes.
What about your teenage years? When did you start hitting clubs at any age?
So I still feel like I've never had my full club era.
It may still be to come.
I think
then.
It might be.
Yeah.
Which is good.
In your like 80s or something.
Yeah,
you're,
I think
you're just like raving.
Absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
It's like night out play.
Yeah.
No, I remember there was Club Wow, which was, you know, the under-16s club, Crisps and Pop Night. Was that a thing in your town?
Crisps and Pop. No, you're from Yorkshire.
Yeah.
Crisps and Pop. Is that...
I think I might be misremembering this, but it was like a big industrial... not industrial, fuck. You know, like shopping...
like a precinct place.
Yeah. And there was a cinema and a bowling alley, and there was... And there were, on a Wednesday, it was, I think, like 6 till... 9
right.
Crisps and Pop Night.
Oh, so you'd eat crisps.
So it was in a real club. I never went.
Oh, like an under 18s type thing.
Yeah. So it was in a real club, but it was for under 18s. And that, oh, I remember girls going, I remember this girl wore two bras, and that's always stuck with me. I was like, okay, you need to wear two bras to make your boobs as
right. Is that like
a,
right, okay, got it, yeah.
And they would go and they'd come back and they'd be like, okay, I got off with 5, 10, 15 people. Like, the goal was to get off with as many people as possible.
That's not changed for me.
No, well, same,
I feel
yeah.
I'm still living my crisps and pop experience.
But I used to be at school like, and I remember wanting to know everything, but I wasn't allowed to go. And I was also very anxious and weirdly late developer.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm still waiting for that experience where I get that hit of like, wow, I'm free and I can do what I want. And, I can...
and what about a little later? Did you go to university?
No. See, I think this is why.
So you've missed these
bypassed
various...
really big moments to get my club wings, really.
Got it.
Yeah. I went straight out of school into... being in a band, and then life becomes like your life is nightlife essentially, but in a folk band, with guys that all have girlfriends, then there ain't much party.
So that wasn't very rock and roll, a rock and roll moment either.
No,
when was the first time you like started developing yourself as an artist and realized you wanted to be an artist? Like, was this,
as a kid,
was like it Shania? It was
that girl there who was doing that? Like, it always, I've been, when does this come out? Is it post Glastonbury? So I've just been, I'm developing my idea for what I'm going to wear at Glastonbury and Meadow Hall. Have you heard of Meadow Hall, Sheffield?
Is that a place?
You're
or?
Like, no. It is a big Americanized shopping centre that's in Sheffield, and they brought it, and that opened in 1990, and that shaped everything to do with me.
Right.
Because it was like glitzy, glam, Americanized, celebrity. There was a big food hall that had this huge... video wall, and you could sit in, they were always doing like singing competitions there, you could be on there, they would put the camera on you in the food hall. And I just got obsessed with being someone that they would put on a screen,
someone like saying, look at me, I can perform, entertaining people,
and years in therapy and everything has helped me be like, that is me, I love it, rather than like, oh, don't look at me, I'm
owning a talent,
The world I went into at 18 was very like, girls had to be in dresses, singing a third above, and you're not to be looked at, you're just, you know, manic pixie dream girl, you are accidentally beautiful and you're accidentally talented, whereas I've always been like, so yeah, the band, I went into that world, and not a lot of party and not a lot of freedom, but that's why self-esteem exists like it
does now. Absolutely. So let's talk about that. So you what does self-esteem, what your artist project, what does that represent for you, and how did you suddenly go, right, I'm gonna change my name, I'm this, this is like the route, the journey to become the artist I want to be. Tell us, us through that.
It was like, I mean, I did a decade in the band with you know, three guys and managed by men, and it was all really fine. No one did anything wrong at all, but like I just never fit in, and I think if you're a human being not completely being yourself, you would go mad. You know, like no matter how long it takes, you eventually get there. And I was just very unwell. Mental health-wise, was just fucking shot. And now I see it was, you know, multifactorial, but mostly I just couldn't be myself. I couldn't indulge and enjoy in the things that I love, which are dancing and movement and colour and costume and visual ideas that you can see through to, to fruition.
Were you creatively held back?
But also it wasn't as, like, if they'd have gone, we don't like that idea, that would have been fine, but it was always like, maybe, but then never, you know. And that's a really powerful way to sort of keep you thinking that you're wrong, you know.
Got it. I mean, in a relationship, that's gaslighting, isn't it, really?
I was like, maybe this idea is shit then. Okay, cool. And then what I've now proved is the ideas weren't shit.
So your ideas were compressed, maybe.
Because you go through that straight lens of male-dominated, like, real music, man.
Yeah.
And it is. There's no room for dance routines there.
Totally.
So it's fine. It was no one's fault. But we were on tour with a tour manager that was a guy, and he was, you know, said some very fucking sexist shit to me, and no one stood up for me. And it was then I was like, okay, I'm out.
You stood up and went.
I didn't quite stand up and go, but I said, I think I want to do something else. And then it was slow. And then now we're here. And my life is I made the shows like a party, right? Because in a way, because I've got this fantasy idea of like losing myself on the dance floor, you know, that I've never really done. I've never had those experiences, those montages you see in films and things. Yeah. I'm like, but self-esteem live, we dance, we are like passionate. It's we're really in the moment and we're really committing to the feeling. And
how do you get that feeling of like your shows being like a party and like a celebratory place?
It took a while, like at first, but it's down to the band now. I've got three backing singing dancers. I don't like saying backing singing. It's not backing.
Your squad.
My people. It took a while to find the right people, but they're so like-minded and like, as well, we're all like little girls who want to dance and sing in our back gardens, you know? And I've got a bassist and a drummer, and they're like very, very talented, but also very funny and up for anything people. And it's just, it's about finding the right people in the team, and it's slowly it's becoming this experience, not just a band, you know. Mm.
And how about for a fan, for a person coming, and what's the atmosphere that you want to create for them when they come to one of your shows?
Yeah, total, like absolute abandon, like enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
Cool is not the aim.
Yeah.
And just feelings, like feelings are cool. Being really committed to what you mean. That's what I want.
Yeah.
So I look out at shows and I see, you know, people crying, and then I look out and there's people losing their shit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's a party. Yeah, that's cool to me.
Yeah,
you know, whereas everything so far, I wonder what it'll be like for the next 10 years, but everything's been a backlash to the first 10 years of my adulthood, which were in this very static, you know, small, indie, cool world. And self-esteem's like it is because I'm like, lol, fuck that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You've also been quite vocal about breaking into the industry as a solo artist in your 30s as well. So how did that feel?
Well, it's just ongoing.
It's an ongoing, absolutely.
Difficult, but
you probably get asked, is that like an eye roll
question? No, it isn't. I'm trying to say, like, it shouldn't be difficult, but it is.
Completely.
And I've started to use it as intel. Like, if I feel like I shouldn't do it, that's absolutely why I should.
Yes.
If it feels difficult because of my age or what I look like, then I've got to push through and do it.
Yeah.
Because the fact that it's difficult, the fact that I'm radical is the saddest thing.
Yeah,
I've
I know.
Ever heard.
Absolutely. I completely agree as well. Yeah. I also think, like the kids that come through when they're like 19 years old, they become like super ginormous pop stars. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh my God.
I wouldn't stand by.
When I was 19, like,
honestly,
no way.
I don't stand by a single thing I did before like about 4 months ago.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, like, this morning. Yeah.
So I'm quite grateful for this slow journey, but it also, it just sort of makes me sad. But again, that's data. The fact that I feel sad means I've got to fucking keep going because it's a weird mix of, like, sometimes I lay awake, like, what the fuck am I doing?
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes I don't think about it, and I'm like, this is it, and it doesn't matter. But
it doesn't matter, because age is literally a number. Yeah. And the fact of the matter is you're making amazing work that people are really enjoying and want to come and see you perform and listen to you at home and stuff. And it's like, what the fuck does...
Yeah.
But I guess as everyone asks you about, you're breaking into music.
No,
it's... It's like, oh, my God.
But I like talking about it because it is true. And it is... difficult, really difficult. Their doors are shut. There's doors that are fucking shut for me that will never open.
Right.
And sometimes when I let myself think about that, and I'm like, oh, if only I'd done this sooner. Mm. But then you're like, oh, you can't, can you? You've got to trust the process and the journey.
Absolutely.
And all that shit.
Yeah. And we're also obviously we're here to talk about parties and stuff. Do you suffer from FOMO at all?
Well.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
The pandemic really. Like, I don't want to be one of those people that's like, I made a global crisis really work for me.
Yeah.
But, but I did for the first time, just because no one could go anywhere.
Yeah.
I was in and no stress that I was missing something. And I actually got an almighty sense of like stillness. And
Yeah. And I can completely relate to that.
But I was on my I've been on my journey a bit for a while, realizing that I'm not as... gregarious and sort of, I'm not an extrovert. I know it seems like I am, but I do like I do get quite nervous at things. I get quite socially anxious. I think the
majority of people do. I like being at all the big showbiz events when I'm behind the booth DJing.
I bet. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think most people that walk into those big scary rooms full of people, I think probably are a bit like, oh, I don't like
it. Like with a fair wind, I'm like, oh, I feel like I feel like being chatty, or I'd love to, you know, or like. But now and again, when I feel like, oh God, I need a few drinks for this or something like that, then I'm like, fuck, that's... The pandemic made me realise how often I do that and how many times do I actually want to be there. And there are occasions, definitely. And it's and I was on a bit of that journey. Prioritise pleasure. Essentially, my point is like, go home when you want to. You know, that decision for you. So anyway, pandemic made me realise that about myself.
Yeah.
But it's also meant now, because my schedule's so mental, that when I do turn up to things, I do want to be there. And that's quite revolutionary.
Or it's for a work reason. Yeah. Or for, and what about like award shows and things like that?
Because I still find them very fun.
You find them fun?
Yeah.
Do you? Yeah.
Although the shine
I find them so stressful.
Well, in the before times when I would go as a punter, like my label would be like, do you want to come to this? I'm not nominated. No one gives a fuck who I am.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like, and I'm like a fun thing to go to.
I'd be like, brilliant, free meal, drink loads of booze.
Yeah.
You know, end up, every award show goes the same for me, which is like, I'm like, really chic, doesn't matter there's all the celebrities there, and then like I wake up the next day and there's like me with like Russell Tovey, like Rylan. I can't help myself, because ultimately I love pop culture so much. I love British pop culture so much. I love celebrity. Oh God, Jerry.
Oh, do you follow Love of Huns?
Yes, that's me to a T. Shit. Yeah,
amazing.
That's my happy place.
I feel like we need to get to like the British Soap Awards.
I do too.
That always looks so wild.
I really think that's where I'm ending up, though.
Or is it the TV Quick Awards?
Soap Awards is my dream.
The Soap Awards, is that the one where...
That's my dream. But also my dream is to eventually be on Coro.
Like, that's...
really? Don't you think? I'm a fantastic actress. I've not been given my Gaga pivot moment yet.
As yourself in a cameo?
No,
or
as a character.
Amazing.
I want to stop having to think about writing it all.
And just say the words.
I want to be a barmaid. I'm physically a barmaid. Look at me.
Oh my God, wait.
God provided me with the most like northern barmaid physique.
Could you be the secret daughter of Bette Lynch?
Too. Yes. Hello. Yes. Thank you.
That could be kind
of
genius.
I've got a really good buddy of mine who writes on Coro, and he's always like, look, I'm trying to figure it out for you. I'm thinking.
It would be completely
amazing.
Yeah,
there is it. I need to do another decade as a global pop star.
Totally.
Crossover. But eventually, I really dream of that. So award shows are fun for me because I'm like, I love all that.
Have you got any funny stories? Have you got like a funny Brit story?
Ones I could say.
Anything that's
Mike.
Like you don't mind being out there in the pub in the realm.
The Brits was a weird one because it's obviously the pinnacle of what I could go to. Yeah. And we couldn't believe I was nominated. That was like
incredible.
I was not on the cards.
Right.
Yeah, but it was a very much a big. I'm a big fish in a medium sized pond, right? And then the Brits, I felt like a very small fish in a really big pond, and nothing can prepare you for like walking down a red carpet. One of the Saturdays went in front of me, and they were like, "Woo!"
Yeah.
Then I walked down. Fuck, global silence, like complete and utter. Like everyone went on their phone, and then Jodie Whittaker behind me. Woo! And I was just like, I'm not. It doesn't bother me that I'm not like, household name famous. Genuinely, I really care about making the work like so much.
It's a different thing.
But nothing can quite prepare you for how miserable that is. So I did spend the whole of the Brits just like, well. You know, I just feel, and then two people said it. Thought I was Anne-Marie, and I was like,
"Oh,
obviously that's a compliment."
That is
but
a
I'm
compliment.
Also like,
yeah.
"No,
yeah.
Do you know what?
I can kind of
I'm
see
not as
like
famous.
Semi,
oh,
like...
Big. No, I'm not. I'm a you know carrier bag. Anne-Marie, sorry, like that sort of feeling. I just don't like that. So, in a way, the more successful I get, and the more sort of legit reason for me to be at award shows, the less fun they become.
Right, and it becomes more like, okay, I'm here for this is a work do.
Yeah.
Type thing.
But Attitude Awards,
I was there. Yeah, absolutely.
So we had a sing at that, and that helped me. I was like, if I can like set my stall out as like, oh, I'm this person who does this thing, and then I can get pissed up and have a laugh with everyone.
So you do get pissed at award shows.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I can't turn down a freebie yet.
Yeah, right. And would you maybe end up in a club or an after party after an award show?
To be honest, ideally. Yeah. But we don't get there. Me and Galps, my bassist, we were on the... outside that venue trying to get a cab. We weren't trying to get a cab. We were like, where can we go next?
Yeah.
And there was kind of nowhere. And we were like, I guess we'll just get really sad. That's not a good podcast. But no, we love it. I love to go. Do you know what? I love an activity. So my dream after party would be club with karaoke.
Karaoke.
I love shit like that, man. There's do you know of a club called Dempsey's in Sheffield?
I've never.
I feel I've like you probably been. Springboarded past that.
Yeah, didn't do Dempsey's, but
I don't know if this is true anymore, but it definitely used to be like one of the only gay bars in Sheffield.
Oh, it's gay bar.
Yeah, and it's got this sort of half a minivan inside it, and that's the DJ booth, and it's karaoke every night.
Okay.
And I've done a few, have you? And that's my happy place.
Okay.
There's a hot food counter. They bring out like hot sandwiches.
Amazing. Who do you do for karaoke?
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I do winner takes it all, not a dry iron in the house. Yeah. Just make sure I've got that out there.
Yeah.
I've been doing a bit of... I did Running Up That Hill for a while, but that's kind of ruined now. So the kids are into it.
Yeah, it's like going to number one, I think.
I've got a rolling list on my phone that I think that stuff I want to try out.
Karaoke on your notes app?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To try, it's very important karaoke to me. To try
Once me and my friend Camilla just went to Lucky Voice, just the two of us, to just sing show songs. We weren't even like talking. We're just like one at a time just getting them out.
So camp, I love that. Do you like West End musicals?
Yes, so much.
What's your favourite musical?
That's
in the West
my
End?
Other like, on the plane the other day, I couldn't get settled. You know when you're playing, you can't fucking get settled into a film or a book or anything. I was like really agitated, and I've got musicals playlist downloaded, and I just went in.
What are your faves?
Well, Calamity Jane, right, was what I loved as a kid. Like at 3 years old, I knew all the words or whatever. But like today's lens, it's awful. The whole point is like she gets pretty and everything's better.
Yeah.
So I have this like dream of doing it. Today's Calamity Jane and playing her.
That could be another thing for.
That's the other retirement plan.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The problem is with getting successful at 35 is you've not enough time left.
Yeah, yeah. Would you do if you were offered a stint?
I'd love that. Would
you do a Chicago?
Absolutely.
Would you?
Yeah, like Erica Jane.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my God, you're watching Real Housewives. Yeah. I'm so obsessed.
You know,
this might now become a Real Housewives podcast, like fan podcast.
It's meant to be about clubbing and I make it about telly. That's very me.
Talk about the soap awards and like the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. We're fine.
When I'm in full glam, I'm like, I look like Erica Jane.
Do you?
Yeah, sometimes it's styling. I'm like, We bought that in for Buzzcocks. She's worn that, what I wore for Nevermind the Buzzcocks, and it. I'm like, oh my God, I'm literally...
Erica J. How would you describe Erica J? It's essentially drag.
She's like a drag self-esteem.
Yeah.
And she basically bought a career.
Yes.
To be a pop star, which... Yeah.
Via
thank God
her
I haven't
husband,
had to in the end.
Tom Girardi, who's now...
Yeah, I'm not far in the season yet.
Wait till you get to see.
Honestly,
season 11.
I'm turbo getting through. I am on the one with the fucking dog that goes back. That's doing my nutting.
That's the worst season.
I'm bored shitless of
it. Where they take the dog from the. What's her name? Lisa Vanderpump.
I've had enough of that. But I know it's going to get good again. But
it gets completely amazing. Erica Jane is God.
She went through all her life and then she was like, I want to be a pop star. Yeah. And really rich husband who just bought that for her. And it's kind
she
of amazing.
But she became like a sort of a Britney-esque pop star at like 49 or something.
There we go. Like, really?
Like, that, she's in her 50s.
She does
now.
Make me genuinely feel better when I look at her, when I watch anything to do with her. Like, I also, like, I've got, like, I'd love to go and just write a record for her. Like, imagine if Eric Jane did something like really subversive, like fucked up shit.
It would be amazing. I think the music that she has released is amazing.
Great.
Already.
Yeah.
It's like perfect.
It's
pop.
Perfect pop. Yeah. And she does it. I love.
Would you collab with Erica Jane?
God, yeah.
I think the gays would lose.
Do a real
their
like sexually charged vid because anyway, I'll put that out there.
So we'll do a collab with Erica Jane.
This is the problem.
You're going to be on Corey and you're going to be in Chicago. Your manager's in the corner going, she's not doing any of this. No, we're not
musicals,
doing any of this.
Musicals, yes, I love musicals. No, I genuinely want to. I wrote some music for a play that's on at the minute. Yeah. With Jodie Comer.
Yeah.
So that has given me a real taste for it. But then I can't deny I still want to be on stage. Like, I don't quite want to just make the music yet.
Totally.
So, yeah, that's the plan. But, yeah, musicals, karaoke. I'd like to do, I like to do the show songs. I've got this small idea about doing, like, a cabaret revue kind of thing.
Like a Judy Garland kind of thing.
Yeah, but with the girls in my band, because we all love it. We're all full of it. We're all full of Lion
King.
Like
a residency type thing. That would be amazing.
Christmas, I'm putting the plans in here.
What would be your ideal guest list if you're throwing a party? Like, they can be living or dead, but who would you want to... You're throwing a house party. Or a dinner party or something like that.
Yeah. The girls in my band and there's a token man in my band, but he won't come. So that's fine.
Okay.
So I can say the girls in my band.
Yeah.
My friend Lindsay Mendick, who's an artist, she taught me to be fabulous. Mm. Like, I met her in Sheffield in 2012 and she was just like, darling, let's get, you know, everything... I'd never lived like, let's get a bottle of Prosecco and fuck it, you know? Yeah. And she, truly, because I'd spent my life around the boys in my band that were all like, all had girlfriends and stuff and never had any ups or downs. They were just fine. Yeah. And my managers were all sort of met older men that had done their years partying. So I'd never met anyone who... So yeah, Lindsay's kind of like his female Liberace character that really taught me. You were,
sounds amazing.
This somewhere, at this party, okay, you come, Lindsay Mendy, my band.
Yeah.
I always have a good kiki with Joe Lycett.
I love.
So I just love to drink like too many glasses of champagne with fabulous people and end up doing karaoke. That's my dream.
So you're more house party / dinner party than hitting a nightclub.
Yeah. Although I genuinely am interested. I've been to, where did I go? I went to Little Gay Brother once.
Amazing.
I took this girl there once.
Yeah, fab.
But then she felt poorly and we had to go. So that was like, I came close to my club.
Well, you came so close to being in, like, having your dance floor moment.
I was dating this girl and it was all really fun and I was like, let's go to a club.
Yeah.
But we didn't stay very long.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I was like, nearly. But yeah, I think it's coming. And because I live between Margate and London. And
okay. I'm from Canterbury. So
oh, mate. All right.
Same hood.
Cool.
Yeah, down the road.
So, you know Amy Zing and that crowd.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
So Margate Arts Club. I think that's the closest I've come to, like, losing oneself on the dance floor, sweating and dancing the night away with abandon.
What's Margate Arts Club like? Because I've heard of it. I've never been. But it's Amy, she helped set up Sink the Pink. Mm-hmm. And she's moved to Margate.
Yeah.
And has this thing called Margate Arts Club.
Yeah, it's like this really cute bar club. And everything, like, I moved there a few years after them. Like, the Margate Exodus has been, like, going on for a while.
It's Hackney kind of, by Sea, as they're calling it.
I'm part of the problem.
Yeah.
But again, when I moved there, I'd not done much. I was still in the band. I'd not sort of become who I am now. So that place and the way that Margate is very, like... It's full of creative people. It's full of, like, people who feel, like, othered and weirdos. And like,
Is it really? It does feel like that.
It certainly was back then, you know. And I did, you know...
In a kind of Brighton kind of way. Yeah.
Because what living somewhere like that does is relieve you of that terrible rent pressure and the cost of livingness in London. And that's where the best creativity comes from, when you're not doing anything for a paycheck.
Totally.
I found it really fruitful. I still find it very fruitful to go back there and spend time there and make work there. I did a few nights dancing the night away there, and I've always felt like I love Amy and and Sync the Pink and the ethos of that kind of thing is what I always wanted to make self-esteem about. And like my big goal would be, you know, a big self-esteem sort of festival or club night or something that just really takes it further from a gig. And just but that ideology of like not trying to be cool and just trying to be yourself, right?
Which, in a,
you know,
in a
lot of queer
place.
Spaces give you, like, that's why I've, you know, really thrive there and with those kind of with people.
Yeah,
the fucking indie folk scene was, you know, playing to couples, heterosexual couples
dry
holding
bones.
Hands, and I'd just be like, "Yeah, I'm my people."
Dry.
Yeah. I like
sound
to look
boring.
Out and see women in their 30s sobbing with their girlfriends.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
what
yeah,
I like
yeah,
to see.
Yeah, totally. Are you the type of, right, say you've got plans, or you're going to like a house party, or you're going to, you've got plans with friends, and they cancel.
Mm-hmm.
How'd you feel? You strike me as a person that might be like, yes! Corey's on tonight. Yeah.
It's, yeah, yes and no. No, if it's something I want to do, I'm like, no. But I am this weirdly introverted person who prefers... But it's a hard question now. I remember as a kid and a teenager being gutted. Like, I loved going to stuff.
Yeah.
But I think now I'm so busy that socializing is like, I'm trying to, piggyback on. Like, I had to go to this like art thing the other day and I was like, my mate Piers, we need to have a meeting about this documentary we're making. And I was like, you want to come to this art thing with me? And we can talk about this at the art
a
thing.
Double up.
And then like, hopefully there'll be wine at that. And then that'll feel like we're socializing. So at the moment, I'm a bit lost with it, to be honest. At the moment, I'd be really happy.
Yeah.
I love cancelled plans just because, because I'm always at capacity and I'm like, oh, okay, cool. But I can't cancel plans. I feel awful.
I'm the same.
What star sign are you?
Pisces.
Oh.
What are you?
Well, I'm a Libra.
Okay.
So I find it very... So I go like that because everyone in my life is a Pisces. Mum, dad, brother, ex-boyfriend, ex-girlfriend, another ex-boyfriend. Johan, my producer, every fucker's a Pisces.
Right.
My new tour manager. Right. I was like, what's that name? It should Pisces. Like, here we go again.
Yeah, you surround yourself subconsciously.
Welcome
to the club.
Being
an
important part of my life.
If you have had a night out, would you grab food afterwards?
Yes.
Yeah, what would you grab?
Sometimes it's just a long game to to get to that bit. I fucking love a McDonald's. The whole band does.
I have one on Friday.
Did you? What'd you have?
I allow myself one a year. It was my second one this year, so I feel a little bit bad.
Pandemic has changed things. It's fine.
There is nothing like
it's
a McDonald's.
Demi-year.
Yeah, totally. McDonald's tastes so good.
It's delicious.
You can live on McDonald's.
Oh, yeah.
You probably shouldn't.
No, probably shouldn't. Luke Day would be like, please, can you stop living on McDonald's? Yeah. Nothing. We can't get anything on it. What did you have? What's your order?
I have a cheeseburger and I have fries and I have a Sprite with loads of ice. That's it. And also they've brought the mozzarella dippers back.
Oh yeah, they're
which
fucking
I absolutely
great.
Love.
With that tomato dip.
Oh, it's so amazing. What's yours?
Well, nugget meal, cheeseburger chaser.
Oh, cheeseburger. The McDonald's cheeseburger is just stuff. It's just so delicious. It's like a cake.
That's another hookup we can get. Right, McDonald's.
Yeah, can we get McDonald's?
No, I don't. Yeah, important that I don't. Yeah, the band, we love it. And we're all... Galp's my bassist, I spoke about earlier. She's a lesbian and an Aries, so she's like insanely capable in any situation.
Right.
It's like shocking.
Right.
And if we've got it in our head that we want a McDonald's, we once got to a car park of a McDonald's and they were like, we're short, but the other one's open for 10 more minutes. We're like, got all the way around. We're all stood in this car park at like 1 a.m. Galp's is downloading the app, getting it. And we all had this mad McDonald's order. It's bliss to me, is eating at the end of a night.
What would your dream club be to go to from the past? I know you're not much of a raver, but if you could like
go back in time.
Go back in time. You're in a time machine, yeah.
I mean, I really love to watch New York, late 80s New York documentary.
Yeah.
That Studio 54 era.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd love to know what the cocaine is on that joke. Like, I love that idea of when it was really authentic, like dancing their night away. And you had nothing else. So, like, do you ever think, like, because of phones and shit, like, our threshold to be excited is a lot higher?
Yeah.
I'd love to go back to when it wasn't so high and you could just...
And also the thing about having phones as well is kind of probably spoiled nightlife a little bit, don't you think?
Everything. I even went. I went for a week in Crete recently, which is the first holiday I've had since 2016.
Yeah.
And I was ill for the whole time. It's shit. Yeah. But as soon as I got there, I was like, and I don't want to be like a boomer about it, but everyone there was just photo, selfie. Everyone was just taking selfies of the pool. And then I was doing it. I was like, fuck, this really has fucked up my being alive. Yeah,
it's like an extension of our hand now, isn't it? I saw someone post on Twitter the other day, I think it was like 50 Cent performing at a festival or something like that.
Yeah.
And it was, and the tweet was like, look at this, just a load of young people enjoy living in the moment. And it was just... It was just apps. It was like from the back of it. It was just phones up. Everyone was watching it through their phone.
Yeah.
But I mean, what can you do?
There's nothing. And I'm as bad. I am we converted all do it. Completely serious. But absolutely. I do wonder what it must have been like in the 80s or like early 90s of that.
To just live in the moment.
Yeah, like you spend all day doing work and you go to the club and the club is exciting and stimulating. Because I would go to the club now, I imagine, and be like, taking pictures,
looking at emails, or, and then taking a selfie, and then
scrolling who's single.
Exactly.
So I don't know. But then I also, there's a place called The Corp, which is like, that was the only place I would say I sort of cut my teeth at like 18, 19, and we'd go, and it was like a metal club. The floor, you know, famously don't wear new shoes there, kind of thing. Because it's like fucking disgusting, like really awful.
Yeah.
Black everywhere, mucky.
Yeah.
But there was in the middle of it a hip hop room. So me in my like baggy jeans and dog collar and white vest would go in there and just like grind and like do hip hop dancing. And that, I'd love to do that again. That was like the closest I got to. Yeah, I think I felt quite adult when I used to do that.
So and that's why you're going in the time machine.
Yeah, and I'd go with like lads from my year at school who liked rock music, and they'd be in the rock bit, and I'd like find my, you know, sexual awakening grinding on some, you know, Tyler. And,
and if you were playing DJ for the night, what tunes would you pick out to play? Like, what do you think would get the old dance floor like roaring?
Well, I had a spell actually at the Lead Mill in Sheffield. I used to DJ on a Saturday night. I never mix. I'm one of those.
You just press play.
You know.
Yeah.
I'm the problem.
Yeah.
Never learned to mix and shit. I'm a drummer as well. I bet I could fucking figure it out pretty easily. But I had two CD wallets.
Okay.
I would just go. But it was just before. I don't know if you remember this kind of. Certainly, my world, like, you know, like Perfect Gentleman, Wyclef.
Yeah.
And Together Again, Janet Jackson.
One of the best songs of all time,
That, I remember, that it was almost like I was a crackpot scientist who remembered that those sort of songs happen in Sheffield at that time, really briefly. I think it was before, like, pop became all right and cool.
Oh, those two songs used to really pop off in Sheffield, like, specifically.
Well, I got that gig at the Lead Mill because I went and I played. They booked Rebecca Slow Club to DJ, but all I put on was, like, noughties pop and hip hop, and obviously everyone was like, oh my god, this song, I can't remember what year it would have been, but it did feel like, oh, I'd had the best idea in the world to remember that pop music's fun and cool, because we were still in this Killers, you know, got Mr. Brightside sort of era, and that's what so when I DJed a fair bit for a while, because and like dined out on that, like, I'm gonna play this song that no one's thought about for a few years.
Yeah,
obviously, like, I wasn't the only person doing that, but it felt like I was in Sheffield. Together Again, Christina Aguilera, Dirty.
Oh,
is just
amazing. And the video for that,
That video
is amazing.
So, you know, I've got a song called I Do This All the Time that everyone's like, oh, it's like Baz Luhrmann's sunscreen, right? Fine, and it kind of was. That was my idea. I was like, let's do something. And for album three, I do want to do a Christina Aguilera Dirty. What's like the 2023 Dirty?
Yeah, because it was like it's just super sexual, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was just like, well, she was just owning her sexuality.
Yeah. And I,
in the time
and
before,
I love it.
That was kind of.
It's still quite cool. Like, even the way, the aesthetic is fucking cool.
So
well.
Cool. Mm. Yeah. I just saw the photos of her performing at Pride in LA. Did you see
those? With the green dick. I love that she's just embracing that.
So cool. Christina Aguilera's cool.
She's fucking cool.
Yeah. I never met her or anything, but I mean, she seems like she's probably like one of the coolest.
Yeah. They've all.
In the biz.
With the Britney stuff, you see how.
Yeah.
Silenced everyone's bit.
Yeah.
And even to a certain extent, people who didn't seem like they were.
Yeah.
Like, even if I say anything, I'll get an email, I'll get a text. You know what I mean? It's really hard to put your head over the and not be a squeaky nice lady that everyone wants you to be. And I, but I love we are. I do feel like we're in this very fertile time of like everyone, a lot of female artists going like, "Fuck it, this is me." And,
totally.
And I love that Christina's moment.
Totally,
to say, fuck it,
totally.
This is me.
Well, so I'm loving watching Madonna at the moment, is 63 years old,
legend,
and she just looks like she's having the best time.
Yeah,
she doesn't give a shit.
That's my goal.
Yeah,
on
Actually, that but Corey.
Yeah, yeah.
That but the
I
soap.
I thrive
awards.
On. Yeah, thrive. Like Madonna's thriving, but in a soap.
And speaking
genre.
Of Britney, I was looking as well at all the pictures from Britney's wedding, which looked so cute. I'm so happy for Britney Spears.
Thank God.
I'm so happy that all sort of like ended nicely.
Well, yeah.
That was really
It's just
horrible
so shocking. You know, so much of it is like, surely not. Like, surely that's
right. In front of everyone's eyes, what one of the most famous people in the world, surely not. She's being controlled by a man, you know, and it's like...
Oh, it's alive and well.
Yeah. It's completely rife. But that was like, I'm so happy that that kind of ended nicely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's been your life of the party. It's been a
I've
pleasure.
I've loved
having
it.
You.
I'm not shut up, have I?
No, that's with the podcast. That's the idea.
Oh, I've loved it.
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on.
Sorry.
I don't do karaoke, but I'm willing to come on a karaoke night.
Okay,
also,
cool.
I'll play DJ
I'll
and select the tunes.
Okay,
yeah. Okay. Hold
Thank
you to
you.
That. Thank you.
Yay.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.